Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, the 14th of May, Pope Leo emphasizes the need for the whole church to preserve the traditions of Eastern Christianity. The Holy See Press Office unveils the meaning behind the Pope's coat of arms, and 3 years pass since the death of a Palestinian journalist by an Israeli sniper as a humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip worsens. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Some 5,000 clergy and faithful representing the 23 Sui Juris Eastern Churches in communion with Rome were present in the Paul VI Hall on Wednesday to hear from the new Bishop of Rome at the conclusion of their Jubilee pilgrimage. In his address, Pope Leo XIV emphasized the need for the whole Church to preserve the traditions of Eastern Christianity, and he prayed once again for true peace throughout the world. Christopher Wells reports.
Siete preziosi.
You are precious in God's eyes, Pope Leo told Eastern Catholics on Wednesday as he expressed his happiness at receiving them in one of the first major events of his pontificate.
La Chiesa ha bisogno di voi.
The Church needs you, he continued, pointing to the immense contribution Eastern Christians offer the universal Church. He highlighted the need to recover a sense of mystery that remains alive in the Eastern liturgies, the sense of the primacy of God, the importance of mystagogy, and the values of Eastern spirituality. It is vital, he said, that you preserve your traditions without attenuating them. Pope Leo XIV went on to highlight the traditions of Eastern spirituality in which the drama of human misery is combined with wonder at God's mercy. So, he said, we must ask for the grace to see the certainty of Easter in every trial of life and not to lose heart. Recalling the suffering faced by so many Eastern Christians, Pope Leo asked, who better than you can sing a song of hope amid the abyss of violence?
Chi dunque più di voi può cantare parole di speranza?
He recalled the anguish provoked by wars in the Holy Land, in Ukraine, in Lebanon and Syria, from the Middle East to Tigray and the Caucasus, and he repeated the resounding appeal, not so much of the Pope, but of Christ himself. May peace be with you. Pope Leo assured Eastern Christians of his commitment to make every effort that the peace of Christ might prevail throughout the world. And he appealed to world leaders to respond to their people's desire for peace through encounter and dialogue. I'm Christopher Wells.
In attendance at that meeting was Bishop Edgar Maddy, Bishop of the Maronite Diocese of Brazil. He spoke to Vatican Radio about the large number of Lebanese Maronites in the country and his struggle to help them reconnect with their Middle Eastern spiritual roots.
The Brazilian government, they make every 10 years a census on the population in Brazil, and they give us the number, Orientals, Lebanese. We have more than 9 million Lebanese and descendant in Brazil, only Lebanese. Yeah. Our presence, it's a presence, largest number outside Lebanon is in Brazil.
Do you feel that they maintain a connection with their Lebanese and also with their Eastern Christian roots?
This is a tough question, hard for me to answer, because the people, they left Lebanon 1860. They started the first immigration. Till 1914, they went to Brazil. And it was also a challenge for our people to leave. They left because of the war need they have. They left to Brazil. And Brazil is a Catholic country. And as Maronite, as Oriental Catholic Maronite, they integrated inside the Catholic Latin Roman Church. And they lost their Maronite church and their Maronite tradition. The challenge also with these people is to link them with their country more than the church. And when we link them to their country, to their roots, we are ipso facto linking them to their religion roots also.
That was Bishop Edgar Maddy, the Bishop of the Maronite Diocese of Brazil, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch. On Wednesday, Pope Leo XIV received Jannik Sinner in the Vatican. The tennis champion is in Rome participating in the 2025 Italian Open. According to the director of the Holy See Press Office, Pope Leo's passion for tennis is well known. In a video distributed by Vatican media, Sinner is seen offering the Pope a tennis ball and asking if he wanted to play, to which the Pope responded, "We'll break something, best not to." Sinner was accompanied by his family and by the head of the Italian Tennis Federation. Meanwhile, the Holy See Press Office has released the official explanation of Pope Leo XIV's coat of arms. As Devin Watkins reports, the Pope's heraldry evokes his devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and inspiration drawn from St. Augustine.
The Holy See Press Office released the official explanation of Pope Leo XIV's coat of arms on Wednesday. In the explanation, Father Antonio Pompili, Vice President of the Italian Heraldic Genealogical Institute, highlights its Marian and Augustinian elements. The Pope's coat of arms includes the traditional papal symbols of the crossed keys of St. Peter and the Episcopal Mitre. The upper left-hand corner of the shield bears a silver fleur-de-lis set against a light blue background. On the bottom right, a red heart topped by a flame and pierced by an arrow sit atop a red book framed by an ivory background. Pope Leo XIV's motto, "In the One, We Are One," sits at the bottom of the coat of arms. The motto echoes St. Augustine's sermon on Psalm 127, where he explains that although we Christians are many, in the one Christ we are one. Father Pompili pointed out that the blue field evokes the heights of the heavens and is distinguished by its Marian significance, with the lily appearing as the classic symbol of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The opposite field, he noted, contains the heart inflamed and pierced by an arrow, which is the emblem of the Order of St. Augustine, of which Pope Leo XIV served as prior general for 2 terms. This figure symbolically evokes St. Augustine's words in the Confessions, "You pierced my heart with your love." It is typically accompanied by the open book, which symbolizes the Word of God that transforms every human heart, as it did Augustine's. I'm Devin Watkins.
In world news, at least 48 Palestinians have been killed in a series of Israeli airstrikes in northern Gaza overnight. Juliette Touma, director of communications for UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, has issued a stark appeal in an interview with Vatican Radio. After more than 580 days of war, with over 52,000 people killed in Israeli airstrikes and nearly 120,000 wounded, the Gaza Strip is on the brink of collapse.
We are against forced displacement, and what needs to happen for the people of Gaza right now is to have a ceasefire, similar to what we had in January. It lasted almost 2 months. We should go back to that. There should be an immediate release of all the hostages who are held in Gaza, must be reunited with their loved ones, with their families. There must be a standard flow of supplies, not only humanitarian supplies, but also commercial supplies. Nothing is coming into the city. People used to rely on agriculture. People used to rely on livestock, like, for example, cows and goats. The lands have been destroyed vastly, and so agriculture produce is very, very little and very, very expensive. Most families cannot afford it. And the livestock have been impacted themselves. So the vast majority of the population in Gaza now relies on handouts that are also running out, community kitchens that are also running out of supplies. So if this continues, we're going to reach very, very dangerous places. People are starving already. What is the next step after starvation? We all know what is the next step after starvation. So it can be stopped. It can be averted. If the gates reopen and the food and other basic supplies flow in.
That was Juliette Touma, Director of Communications for UNRWA. 3 years ago, Shireen Abu Akleh, a Palestinian journalist for Al Jazeera, was shot dead while reporting on an Israeli raid at the Jenin refugee camp. Although Israel initially denied responsibility for her death, multiple investigations have established that Abu Akleh, who was Catholic, was killed by an IDF sniper, almost certainly with intent. To mark the 3-year anniversary of Abu Akleh's death, Vatican Radio spoke to her brother, Anthony.
Shireen was one of the few female journalists who started reporting from Palestine and on satellite channels and a media outlet. She reported and she covered all Palestine. And in addition to this, she covered many parts of the world, both the Arab, the US, Europe. She was all over. She entered the hearts of the Palestinian people mostly and the people in the region by this small screen. And she was the voice of Palestine, the voice of oppressed people in the Holy Land. It's important also to mention that as a Christian, as a Catholic, this didn't save her from the Israeli bullets. We hope justice will be served for Shireen and we will pursue justice for her and for the sake of other journalists. Since the killing of Shireen, a Palestinian-American journalist, and in the absence of accountability and justice, more than 200 journalists were targeted in Palestine. And this is very painful to us, to the Palestinian people, and to the world. This should come to an end by holding those responsible. This will only happen when the international community ends the impunity the Israeli soldiers are enjoying. We understand also from this documentary that the Israeli soldiers were using Shireen's photo as a target practice, which is really painful to us, to the family, to hear this and to know this. No remorse at all from the Israelis, and this is also very sad, but like I said, it will only end once impunity ends.
That was Anthony Abu Akleh, brother of journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, who was killed by the IDF 3 years ago. And finally, in the DRC in Bukavu, the capital of South Kivu province, is facing a humanitarian emergency where violations against children are surging, essential services have collapsed, and the population sees no way out. A missionary who, for safety, asked the pontifical news agency Fides to remain anonymous warns that the city is being abandoned to hunger and neglect. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Bukavu is being abandoned to neglect and hunger, asserts a missionary from the city who wishes to remain anonymous for security reasons, reports the pontifical news agency Fides. Bukavu, the capital of South Kivu province in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, was taken over by the M23 militia on the 16th of February. Since then, the city has been in a state of limbo, suspended between the lack of services guaranteed by state institutions that are no longer present and insecurity reigns. With Bukavu still under the M23's control, it continues experiencing significant disruptions, essential services paralyzed, and banks, schools, and businesses closed. Recent figures reveal that over 850,000 people have been displaced, nearly half of whom are children, facing limited access to clean water, health care, and education. According to UNICEF, violations against children have surged, with a 150% increase in reported cases since January. The region is also grappling with the aftermath of severe flooding that has killed at least 62 people and left 50 missing. Moreover, the ongoing conflict and damaged infrastructure are impeding efforts to provide aid. Exacerbating this already dramatic situation, international businesses, due to tax-related disputes with the rebel administration, have suspended operations. All of this further brings to light the growing instability for foreign entities which operate in the area. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks today go to Gabriele Di Domenico, our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.